So I actually found meditation about 10 years ago when I was doing a chorus line on Broadway. I was understudying three of the lead roles, which means you show up to the theater and you have no idea which character you're going on for. Sometimes I would start as one character and halfway through they'd switch me to a different one. Now, I was expecting like martinis with Liza at Sardi's, and instead I'm rocking myself in fetal position under my dressing room table listening to Eckhart Tolle on repeat. So here I am on Broadway, living my dream in arguably one of the best musicals of all time, and I was miserable. I started going gray at the tender age of 26. I started having insomnia. I couldn't sleep through the night for 18 months. I started getting sick. I started getting injured. And it was very confusing to me why I was living my dream and it wasn't sunshine and roses. So thankfully, I got invited to a meditation talk. I liked what I heard. It made sense to me. So I signed up for this course. And on the very first day of the first course, I was meditating. And that night, I slept through the night for the first time in 18 months. And I have every night since, and that was about 10 years ago. Then I started noticing that everything kept getting better. I stopped getting sick. I stopped getting injured. I stopped going gray. I started enjoying my job again. And it was this dramatic up-leveling in my performance and in my life that inspired me to become a teacher so that I could share this experience. Y'all, we gotta stop the glorification of busy. We're all busy. And even when we're not busy, now we have social media and text messages and email on our phone to make us feel like we're busy. There's always going to be more TV shows to watch. There's always going to be more emails to answer. There will always be more dishes to do. And so the question is, what are you going to do to enjoy your to-do list? What are you going to do to move through your day with presence, with kindness, with compassion, with fulfillment, instead of being trapped under the old illusion that you're going to find happiness at the end of your to-do list? Because that never happens. And you've done that research. You've probably spent decades thinking that, well, as soon as I finish all my things on my to-do list, then I'll rest. As soon as I acquire this company, as soon as I hire this person, as soon as I get a million followers on Facebook, then I will be happy, then I will rest. But you guys, it doesn't work that way. We have to instead fill ourselves up from the very source of fulfillment. We have to fill ourselves up from the source of rest, from the source of time, and then deliver our joy to our to-do list. And the fastest way I found to do that is through meditation. It's like we wake up, we flood our brains and bodies with dopamine and serotonin, and then we use our to-do list as a means by which to deliver fulfillment. And here's the paradoxical thing that happens. When you start to fill yourself up from the source and approach situations from a place of what can I give versus what can I get, all those things that we're so busy chasing start to come into our lap. It feels like an accident. It feels like magic. It's not magic. It's a return on investment. It's a return on your time investment of you meditating every single day, twice a day. So if you're running around all day saying like, oh, I'm so busy. Hey, how are you doing? Girl, I'm so busy. Which my theory about this is that we're all just telling each other how busy we are so that our friends will come to our neighborhood and adjust to our schedule for lunch. It's like we're trying to out-busy each other so that everyone else will adapt to us. But what we're really saying when we say I'm so busy is I don't know how to prioritize my demands. I don't know how to prioritize my time. And so a quick helpful tip of a way to help you feel less busy, to prioritize your demands and prioritize your time, is take a post-it note, just one post-it note, and write your top three things that you're most interested in accomplishing. It could be personal, professional, familial, it doesn't matter, but just three things. That's why it's a post-it note, right? Because you can't fit too many things on a post-it note. And now put that post-it note on your laptop or on your mirror, somewhere that you're going to see it every day, multiple times a day. And then just every time you see it, remind yourself, okay, these are my top three things. These are my top three priorities. And then look at your calendar. Actually look at your calendar, not for next week, but look at last week's calendar. How did you actually allocate your time? And were you allocating your time on the things that you claim to be your top three priorities? Because what a lot of us do is they say, oh, I'd love to write a book. I'm thinking about starting a company. I'm trying to lose weight. And we say these blanket statements that have really easy escape routes, but then we don't invest our time on those things. And then we feel like we're failing, and then we fill our lives up with busy work. And so we feel like we're always overwhelmed and behind schedule. But if you start to utilize your time and prioritize your time to put it on your top three priorities, everything else is going to feel so much easier. So y'all, join me in my mission to stop the glorification of busy. Life is so much more fun when you have some space, when you have some time. It means you have some time for magic to show up. So let's chat about meditation and productivity. Because I can't tell you how many times a day I hear, Emily, I want to meditate. I know that it's so good for me. I know that there's so much neuroscience about it, but I'm too busy. Right? Like, I'm busy. I got stuff to do. I don't have time to sit still and waste my time. But I'm going to make an argument for why you don't have time to not meditate. So let's think about our brain as a computer, okay? And let's imagine that you're at work and you're working on your computer and you're typing an email and then you decide to take a little break. So you open up a little Facebook. And you open up a little YouTube, and then a little Snapchat, a little Vine, and a little Twitter. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, that you open up 10 million windows. And after about an hour or two, you're like, maybe I should get back to work. And you go to type that work email, but your cursor is about 20 spaces behind the rate that you're typing. And you're like, stupid computer, can't even type an email. Well, here's the thing. This computer is infinitely capable of typing one email, but you're using so much of the computing power to run those 10 million open windows that you don't have a full deck, as it were, to type this one email. And this is what stress is doing to our brain machine. By the time we're 20 years old, we have approximately 10 million PCCs, which is basically a precognitive commitment, which is like a little open window on your brain computer. So every single time you've ever been stressed, every time you've ever launched into even a mild fight or flight stress reaction, it's left a little open window on your brain computer. And all those open windows are keeping you from performing at the top of your game. They're keeping you from being as productive as you could be because you're basically wasting your energy. So what meditation does is that it goes in and it's like giving your brain a restart. It goes in and it closes down all of those windows. But before you can click out of a window, before you can X out of it, you actually first have to maximize it. So we've got these 10 million minimized old little stressy windows on our brain machine, and meditation is first going to go in and it's going to maximize those so that we can click X, close them down, and then they're never coming back again. So two points that I'm making here. One, meditation is going to give you more of your brain power for the task at hand. And two, sometimes as we start a meditation practice, some of the stress can have a little bit of the same flavor on the way out as it did on the way in. So know that when you're meditating, it's like you're hitting the reset button for your brain so that you can be more productive on the other side. And a few of my favorite quotes to share with people as of late, when people say, Emily, I don't have time to meditate. I like to say back, okay, do you have time to feel like crap? Or if they say, Emily, I'm too busy to meditate. I like to say, if Oprah has time to meditate, you have time to meditate. And if you want to look at the list of CEOs and professional athletes and celebrities that are meditating, it's a pretty impressive list. It's Oprah and Ray Dalio, who's the most successful hedge fund manager in the world. And, you know, the Seattle Seahawks. And I've taught NBA players and Tony Award winners and Grammy Award winners and Oscar Award winners. And they're not doing meditation because they have a bunch of time to burn. They're meditating because they know it allows them to perform at the top of their game. So I'd love for you to let go of this old idea that meditation is a waste of time and instead think about it like hitting the reset button for your brain so that you can perform at the top of your game when you come out of the meditation. Because after all, no one cares if you're a good meditator. Everybody cares if you're good at life. And that to me is the point of meditation, to get really good at life.
This material in an excerpt from a longer podcast or video. Follow link in description to learn more.